right, this is Al Venz coming at you from Studio 2. We've got episode 39 of the Al and Josh Show. How you doing, Josh?
Good. Really good. Episode 39 already.
Yeah. It's kind of come in bursts at times. We're on a pretty good pace right now. Every couple weeks we're putting one out. I think that's a good, kind of a good, you know, cadence.
Yeah, well, our last one 2 weeks ago, it ended up being like almost 2 hours long, but for the naysayers like Rod Frost, that's two weeks worth of content, Rod.
Right. If you'd like, you can just listen to one half on 1 week and wait till the next week to listen to the other half. It's entirely up to you.
Totally.
Play pause works great on that iPhone, Rod.
Yeah, so you mentioned we're back in Studio 2.
Yeah.
This is our 39th episode. We've done probably 37 in Studio 2. Studio 1, I think we did the first two episodes in, and then
yeah. We had a mobile studio during the early days of COVID where we did one over the phone. And we actually did a Zoom call not that long ago because it didn't work out to get together. So we're in the mid-30s.
Yeah, mid-30s. And
you know, if you count the fact that we did, you know, one of those episodes was a four-part series, really, right? We called it episode, I don't remember what episode it was, but our college coaches series, right? That was actually four different portions of that one episode. A lot of people would have called that four separate episodes. We didn't. So we've probably been in Studio 2 about 35 times, a little more.
You know, I get a lot of questions about Studio 2. People
sure.
are curious. You know, they want to know, they want to see it. If you could sum it up in one word, what would it be?
Probably professionalism, I think.
Actually, I think that pretty much covers it.
Right? I mean, between the two of us, it's hard to be anything but professional. But then you add in Studio 2, and it's just a natural setting for pros like us.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, pros.
Oh, man. Hey, speaking of Studio 2 and nice setups and buildings and whatnot, have you had a chance to see the MNUSA training center they've got going on, right? What they've got going on right now with that?
Yeah. Actually, yesterday I was lucky enough. I brought my daughter up there to wrestle, and she is a schoolgirl and roughly 100 pounds, which is, I mean, that place is sweet. The setup is sweet. The work that MNUSA went through to make youth wrestling happen this year is really incredible.
Yeah.
So what they did is they rented out a commercial property in Coon Rapids, and they found a way to get 8 mats in there, and they have slotted times where like the school boys and school girls, they wrestled at from 3:30 to 5:30. And then there was also like a peewee age that was maybe in there at the same time, or bantams.
Sure.
But you pre-register online.
Okay.
And, you know, weigh-ins are done on the honor system, and you show up and check in. When we got there, our time, 3:30 to 5:30, you're not supposed to go until 3:30 because of COVID.
Right.
Which it worked out perfect. We walked in, you checked in, you know, weigh-ins are already done. They do a skin check.
Sure.
And as my daughter was going through that, I kind of was looking around and checking the place out. They had a group of people working together that were over at the big SAO machine.
The big dog. Yeah.
They were filling up a sprayer with that. They were getting ready to sanitize and get ready for the next wave of wrestlers.
Sure.
The really, really cool setup. And I think the qualifier we were at was actually hosted by the Wayzata Youth Wrestling Program or Wayzata Wrestling or whatever.
Okay.
And they leased the space from MNUSA for that tournament, for
sure.
that day. So they supply the workers, but MNUSA supplies the mats, the building, the clocks.
Scorekeeping,
track, it's all on track. It's really cool, and it's really streamlined. This would be the first tournament my daughter or sons have ever wrestled in where she actually went for a hike with grandma and grandpa in the morning, and they asked, what time do we got to be home? I said, well, we should probably leave about 2:15, 2:30 to get to Coon Rapids. So they were home. She was home, at, you know, 1:30. We left to drive up there. You know, usually you go to a youth wrestling tournament. Weigh-ins are from 8 to 9:30. You kind of end up being stuck there. I don't want to say stuck because as much as I am a fan of being at a youth wrestling tournament, but
it feels like being stuck, especially depends, you know, different tournaments do things differently. You know, some have two gyms, some have one. Some do youngest kids through oldest kids. Some have mats that start right away immediately with the oldest age group and only has that age group. Everyone does it differently, so you don't always know what you're in for, right? You may go in there with a peewee and end up getting out right away, but I've seen tournaments that end up, like I say, that have one or two mats per age group, and a heavier peewee, you know, kindergartner ends up at this tournament for 3 hours, yeah. You know, and that's a long day for young kids. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Stuck's not the right word, doing something you love, but it feels stuck sometimes when...
Yeah, you end up spending just a lot of time in the gym. Like, this didn't monopolize the whole Saturday.
Right.
Really, I mean, she was... Now, granted, she had a 3-man bracket instead of a 4, so, you know, a little quicker than normal, but I think the actual amount of time that we needed to be there... We walked into 3:30. She maybe was done wrestling at 4:15.
How awesome,
you know,
is that?
4:30, and then I chatted with some guys on the way out, so that slowed us down a little bit.
Sure.
But yeah, it was just so.
Tell you what, in and out in under an hour.
Yeah.
How can you complain about that?
You know, and they got their whatever they bring in like 200 kids a session.
Yeah.
Or I guess I should know the numbers, but I don't. But the number is limited to how many they can through the whatever the COVID regulations guidelines are, but they're gonna keep using that building and that format, you know, up until, you know, we're into the freestyle and Greco season here as we get rolling.
Nice.
Yeah, it was so if it wasn't for Min USA doing what they did this year, where would you find a youth wrestling tournament in the area?
It would be almost impossible to find, you know. And I have not talked to any Wisconsin parents with young kids, so I don't even know for sure. You know, we're not far from Wisconsin. You maybe could go over there and get a couple of matches in Wisconsin or drive down to Iowa or something, but that's not very convenient.
No, I mean, and it's the same, you know, it's going to be, for the most part, unless it's a bigger national tournament, it's going to be a 4-man bracket, right, give or take.
Yep.
So just kind of got to tip our hats to the Min USA board of directors and the people involved with making that whole thing happen. Because after seeing it in action, it's really impressive, and it's really impressive the leadership, you know, that I suppose the outside of the box thinking that they...
Right. It'd be the easy thing to do is say, this year's a wash. We can't do it. We just can't make it work, you know. But instead, a group of folks at the top of that organization said, we have to make it happen. You know, and there have been people critical of Min USA over the years, feeling like, well, you know, I've heard comments about people saying it's all about the money, right? They have this qualification system which encourages people to go to more qualifiers that they have to pay for, and you have to have membership and all these things. And people have been critical, like feeling like it was a bit of a money grab. And that's not the case this year. Like the level of work they're putting out to make youth wrestling happen at all, the return on investment cannot be high.
There's no way. And if you've ever been critical, you know, now would be as great a time as any this year. If you see one of those Min USA board members, or, you know, the people, the volunteers that
I know we're going to miss people, but just rattle off a few of them for us, Josh.
Well, like a good example would be like, Dave Peterson.
Yep.
Matt Noss, Jeff Lathrop, Nick Leiden.
You know,
those,
sure.
I think those guys are just, they're spending a ton of time at the facility.
Yeah. I mean, you can hear Dexter and Yeti are super excited for the work the Min USA crowd is doing.
I mean, of course, why wouldn't they be? We bring it up and that's,
they immediately get excited after sitting around for hours while we prepared. They decided now was the time to voice their opinion and be excited about things.
Yep, we got Dexter and Yeti are sneaking their way into Studio 2 here, and
we might have to have a closed door policy at some point, Josh. I don't know.
But yeah, if you get a chance, if you run into the, you know, someone from Min USA, don't be afraid to give them, you know, just let them know how much you appreciate it. Because I'm telling you, this, if it wasn't for that organization doing what they're doing, I mean, we're going to have a freestyle and Greco season this year.
Which is awesome.
The folkstyle season's on. The state tournament, they're hosting the state tournament next weekend and the weekend after. They got to broke it up into 2 weekends.
Yep.
They're actually going to do some, they're actually going to host some camps up there, some wrestling camps up there.
Nice.
You know, and once we get a little closer to that, and maybe once we make it through the high school season,
right,
we'll actually do a little bit more homework.
Yeah, yeah.
On what they got going on up there. But I thought it was definitely worth mentioning how nice it is to have an organization that went above and beyond and found a way to still have youth wrestling this year.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. I love it. So as we're approaching postseason for youth here in Minnesota, right, I don't have a lot on it, but yesterday after we were done with our wrestling duels we attended, we got together a few people and we watched a little bit of D2 Super Regional action, right? Region 5 has got a lot of kids from, several Minnesota teams and a lot of kids from around Minnesota that are wrestling down there. Did you get a chance to catch any wrestling or results from that at all?
I did. And actually, you know, I was following it pretty closely just because there were so many Minnesota. Well, first of all, that region is tough as nails.
It's got to be the toughest, right? That's like the Big Ten of D2 regions. Like, it's just accepted that's the toughest region.
It has to be. I mean, it just, you know, I guess my Division II wrestling knowledge is, I'll be honest, is not the highest, but looking at the teams that are there, you know, St. Cloud State has been dominant for,
right,
you know, they've just been dominant for the last few years. And looking at the results and the wrestlers that were there, you know, it's a really impressive region. And you know what? The first one that sticks out to me is Cole Jones.
Hey, before we go there, Josh, how many kids? So this is Super Regionals. This is how they qualify for the NCAA D2 tournament.
Yeah.
And how's that work? How many kids qualify?
Well, I believe there's two kids from each weight.
Two per weight class? Is there any wild cards?
I think there's five.
Okay, cool, cool. Okay, I just wanted to get that out of the way before we go through a few notable names.
And I could certainly be wrong. And if I'm wrong, tweet at us and let us know.
Yeah, and I think brackets should be announced fairly soon, actually, so that'll become irrelevant. But I am confident that the top two qualify.
For
I know
sure.
That much for sure at every weight class.
The looking at the results in the brackets, Cole Jones took second place at 125 pounds. You remember Cole?
Oh, yeah.
Grand Rapids,
yes.
Barrel-chested.
Man, a Greco machine, wasn't he?
Yeah, those guys, he would always make his way down to the metro area from Grand Rapids
during
freestyle and Greco season. And just a problem for guys, man. He's the one that sticks out to me at 125. I know Paxton Kreese was in that bracket, but he didn't make her through.
Right.
That was another. Who else we got? Let's look at 133. What do we got there?
Well, Garrett Voss won it, right, from St. Cloud State.
Yeah. Garrett Voss and Brock Luthens from Minnesota State. He ended up taking fourth, so he's probably on the outside looking in. But another Minnesota connection there.
Yeah, Brock lost 3-2 in that third place match, you know. And I don't recall if he got beat by Garrett or the second place kid in the semis, you know, if he would have got a true second match or not. But Brock was close. He was sniffing at it there. And he's still got a year of eligibility left.
Okay. 141 pounds, Joey Bianchi of St. Cloud State wins that bracket. Did we mention this yet? St. Cloud State had eight qualifiers.
That sounds right.
140.
I believe eight for sure.
Okay. 149 pounds, Kyle Rathman from Minnesota State Mankato won that bracket. He beat Garrett Aldrich in the finals. Garrett was wrestling for St. Cloud State.
Albert League kid, right?
Yeah, Rathman's an Apple Valley guy. And
his dad lived in Northwood, Iowa for a while.
Garrett's dad did.
Yeah.
Well, it's the old Iowa connection for Al. He's always trying to find that. Now that I believe was the weight that Hunter Burnett.
Yeah.
From
Pipestone, right?
Yeah, yep. He's from Pipestone, wrestles for Augustana. You know, he was the conference wrestler of the week not too long ago. He's, I think, currently like ranked in the top 10. I'm not sure. I don't see him in that bracket.
Right.
I don't know what.
I don't know what shook out there.
But he was having a heck of a nice season anyways. 157. Okay, 157. Here we go. I mentioned his dad a little bit earlier in the show. Kobe Noss took third wrestling for St. Cloud State, and we believe he qualified.
He certainly, if he did not auto-qualify, he's got a great chance of getting in. His only loss on the season was I think in the semis to Cade Moore, finalist there.
Yeah, so I would hope only a one-loss season you get in.
Right.
165, Devin Fitzpatrick, St. Cloud State. He won that bracket.
And is that a Matamidi Fitzpatrick? I get confused. There's a couple of Fitzpatrick
brothers
I get confused with, but that is Matamidi, right?
Yep, I believe that Devin is the wrestled Griffin Perry out in the state finals.
Yes.
I could be wrong, but I
think you're right. I'm almost positive you're right.
Let's see here. 174 pounds. Cade Mueller took third. He's wrestling for Augustana. He's an old Waconia guy, right?
Sure.
Let's see. William Pitzner, St. Cloud State, won the bracket at 184. He beat Caden Steffen of Southwest Minnesota State in the finals.
Caden did have a true second match, too.
He did.
Yeah, he had to win a true second match. We all know how that is, right? Just like in high school in sections when you make the finals and feel so good about it, then all of a sudden you take a loss and realize, and it was a 1-0 loss in the finals. Like he was not completely outmanned. He lost a 1-0 match in the finals, right? So in his mind, he's going to win the thing, right? Makes the finals, going to win the tournament. Takes that 1-0 loss, I believe. You know what? No, I've got that backwards. Caden came from the backside. Well, we've actually talked about this over and over. If you got a true second match, would you rather be the guy that just lost a heartbreaker in the finals or the guy coming back off a roll from winning your third place match? And that's Caden came from the backside.
Yeah, he had the momentum going. He took third.
He got a pin in his third place match, and the kid he wrestled had just lost 1-0 in the finals. So that kid certainly felt like he had a chance in the finals. Caden comes in with all the momentum and ends up sticking him in the true second match to make the national tournament.
Oh, man.
Pretty sweet, huh?
That's very sweet. You know, that's his dad, Link Steffen, was a national champ there. And it looks like the move from the University of Minnesota to Southwest Minnesota State is going well for Caden.
Good fit, right?
Yeah, really good fit. 197 pounds. Now, that is one of the more interesting brackets.
It is.
Second place was Noah Ryan of St. Cloud State. Third place was Jackson Ryan of Southwest Minnesota State. Noah Ryan, Cass and Manorville.
Yep.
Jackson Ryan from Simley. We know the top two qualify, and my understanding is we're hoping Jackson gets one of them wild cards.
His one loss was the loss to Noah Ryan in this tournament. You know, so his, again, another one-loss season. I got a feel, and he qualified last year for the national tournament too, right? So
yep.
One-loss season, takes third in a tough region qualifier, and a returning qualifier with one loss. I got to think he's got a good shot at it.
Yeah, like I think we'll find that out tomorrow too.
Yeah, probably the day we release this. Who knows? It might actually beat. That may be decided by the time this is published.
Probably is. Or probably will be, yeah. Then at heavyweight, 285, got Cameron Teacher of St. Cloud State and Stephen Hodges of Augustana.
Nice.
So there's a very nice Minnesota connection there. Solid results on the weekend from Minnesota high school wrestlers and Minnesota State colleges going out there and doing very well in one of the toughest regions.
Right.
Maybe the toughest region in super region in Division Two.
I think it is. I mean, every year, in whatever tournament you have, qualifying tournament, there's going to be some regions or sections that have particular weights that are just nasty, ridiculous, tough. But as a whole, I believe Region 5 is considered the toughest.
Okay. Well, with that being said, we got to take this time that we have to say thank you to our listeners for the feedback. You know, we asked... We asked for you guys to send us some topics or some matches or, basically, dual results, individual results.
And all sorts of feedback this time. It was awesome.
You know, we asked for, flood us with content, and you did a great job of that and kept our social media department busy.
They were, yes. They applied for overtime. It was denied. But, you had the social media department working hard, which is good.
So before we go into some of the stuff that we got, let's give a little shout out to one of our sponsors, because we'll probably lead off with some women's wrestling here.
And yeah.
A proud sponsor of that is Ellsmore Plumbing out of Rochester, Minnesota. Give Jason Ellsmore a call for all your plumbing needs for in and around the Rochester area. He's a huge proponent and supporter of women's wrestling in Minnesota.
Yeah. You know, I got a text about an article, a newspaper article, about Alyssa Reinsma, and I sent that to you, and you'd already read it, I believe.
Well, I actually remember when it was in the paper.
Okay.
Like back in the day, I remember it very well. You know, she had a couple older brothers followed in their footsteps, and, you know, she was the first female to qualify for the boys' high school state tournament.
Right.
Which was, and she was from Fulda, Maury County Central, I believe. If I'm remembering right. But really good article, you know, just basically what it was like. So the article that was sent was, I'm sorry, I remember when she qualified. I remember the Star
right.
Trib article.
Right.
But the article that was sent was kind of, who's it from?
Chris Wolf, I think.
Yeah, Chris Wolf. And it was an article probably from like the Worthington Daily Globe or something
like
that.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yep.
And basically like where she's at and what she's doing now.
Yeah.
And like you'd expect it, probably she's crushing it in adulthood just like she did on the wrestling mat.
Right. No surprise there. The women's national tournament, college national tournament's coming up. So the Augsburg women qualified. How many did they qualify?
13.
I mean, 13 qualifies for the national tournament, and this is just their second year of existence, right?
How many weights do they have, Al?
Well, you know, I believe they allow multiple entrants at the qualifiers.
Okay.
So that's how we get, you know, additional qualifiers. But, 13, and they're ranked fifth in the country. And you think about it, and that's pretty good, top five in the country, and then all of a sudden you realize a year and a half ago, there was no team, right? Like they just started a year ago and they're already making their way up to top five in the country. Of course, led by great friend of the program, Emily Shilson, ranked number one in the country. They had a great qualifying tournament.
13, that's awesome. Do you know where their nationals are going to be?
You know what? I don't actually.
Not yet.
I don't. I have been, so we've got all sorts of postseason coming up, right? With between sections and super sections, both for team and individual, and then state tournament, and then Big Ten tournament, and national D1 tournament, and all these different things going on. And I'm, it's not good for the podcast. I'm kind of just taking it, you know, a few days at a time, maybe a week at a time. Some of those things are allowing fans, some aren't. So, I'm not as up to speed on things more than a few days from now as I should be, and that's across the board.
Sorry, we got plenty of time to figure that out.
Yeah. How about just some interesting matches and duels and whatnot?
Well, there's been plenty of them. We've talked about it before, but I can't tell you how much I enjoy the accessibility to watch a lot of these matches this year, whether it be on YouTube or track wrestling or
Facebook Live
or the band app, actually get to watch when we see an interesting result. Or, you know what I really like is when someone tweets out,
right,
which is where I get most of my stuff from, is when someone tweets out like, hey, here's the link to Long Prairie Gray Eagle, Browerville, and ACGC at Thief River Falls, all in the same place, you know, that try.
Right.
You know? So that, for the teams and the coaches and that are putting that stuff out there, can't say thank you enough because it makes it super easy for me to just click on it.
Right, and it shows up in your Twitter feed and away you go.
Yeah.
And it's so nice. We've fought for so long in Minnesota with some programs just refusing to post results, and it drives me crazy. Oh. And as we're trying to do, I've got an interesting little chunk of wrestling from earlier this year, and as we talk through those, and I go through and try to find some results since then, some of these results are just not available online, whether it's on track or on the guillotine or whatever. Some programs are just not providing them, and it drives me crazy. So an extra shout out to the programs that not just post those, but also the programs that post the videos and leave those up, because they're awesome. And as much as some of these coaches think they're they're gaining some sort of competitive advantage by not letting anybody else in the state know if they wrestled and who they wrestled and whether they won or lost and see a video. It's way better for the sport to have it accessible, both results and videos.
Well, especially when we're, you know, like what we're trying to do right now is promote the sport and talk about, you know, wrestlers and their teams. When you run into like a stonewall, like, well, sorry, the result's not posted. I just don't get it.
Yeah, there are some really good teams and wrestlers out there that are unlikely to ever show up on our program, you know, just because the results aren't posted.
Yep.
Maybe if they have a big match or duel against someone who does post results out of their control. But, you know, if you guys, you fans are listening, if your coaches post your results, don't try to hoard them. There's no real value in that, no matter how sneaky you think you're being. And if you're a fan, encourage your coaches to post those results, right? I mean, that's how you're going to get your kids recognized and ranked and, you know, that sort of thing. So don't try to hide the information. Go out there and wrestle your best against whoever you're facing and then let everybody know what happened. Anyway, yeah, that's a little side rant. Sorry about that.
It's a good rant, though. So speaking of that, you know, one that I was able to watch was that let's just start with that try, that Long Prairie Gray Eagle Browerville try. They're currently ranked number one in the state in Class A.
Yeah.
And earlier in the season, you know, on another episode, we actually talked about, you know, like their number of ranked wrestlers compared to like ACGC,
right,
which is currently ranked number three. On paper, you know, one could argue that ACGC would be
at
the
a glance
favorite.
It looks like ACGC should be the favorite,
yeah,
right?
You know, and Long Prairie Gray Eagle, Browerville, they graduated so many, you know, a ton of guys last year.
Right.
It's like they got to be in a rebuilding year. Well, I'm telling you what, they are not in a rebuilding year.
Did they reload as opposed to rebuild?
Yes, they reloaded for sure. They beat ACGC 37-29, and they look good doing it.
Nice.
And there was really not much of a doubt. You know, that was a really fun duel for me to be able to watch on YouTube, sitting in my living room.
Nice.
You know, and LPG looks really good, and I thought, man, there's nobody that's going to beat him.
Right.
And then I was wrong.
Of course.
Like so many times.
That's how it works, right?
That is how it works. They lost to, currently ranked number 11, West Central. You know, West Central area, Ashby, Brandon, Evansville. They beat LPGE Browerville 28-27.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was just, I think, what's today, Sunday? That was just yesterday.
Nice.
Or maybe Friday, but
last couple days.
Last couple days. So I guess, yeah, I was wrong. I thought LPGE was not going to lose another
unbeatable
match.
Right?
I mean, unbeatable. Well, congratulations, West Central. You guys beat
apparently why they wrestle.
Yeah, that is. So it'll be fun to keep an eye on those guys as we get closer to the state tournament.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, you know, hey, I had one from actually January 14th, right? Long time ago, right at the beginning of the season. Maybe it was the first day people wrestled, the 14th, or first weekend anyway.
Yeah.
There was a little triangular. It was Eden Prairie, Eastview, and Egan, right? And it just so happened that in that try, there were three heavyweights involved, right, that went 1-1. They each beat each other. Will Sather from Eden Prairie beat Kellen Stewart from Eastview. Stewart beat Diego Villega from Egan. And Villega beat Sather.
Oh, okay. Stewart, I think you said Eastview. He's East Ridge, right?
Yeah.
Eastview. Yep. So Stewart's ranked fifth in the state at heavyweight. And Villega, what's Villega?
He's ranked seventh currently. And I didn't look back at the history to see what they're ranked at the time. Will Sather, I believe, is unranked at this point. But anyway, right, three heavyweights, they went round and round. Each of them had a loss on the day and beat each other. Guess what those three heavyweights have done since then, Josh? Well, Villega, his only loss that I can find since then was a 3-2 loss to Trelstead from Shaco.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And he's ranked number two in the state at heavyweight. Sather's only loss was to Jagger Shack, who's ranked number three at heavyweight. And, in fact, he did beat Trelstead recently.
Very recently.
Yeah.
Like a week ago.
Right. And then Stewart's only loss was to Tommy Johnson, you know, 3-1. Tommy's ranked number one at 220. Actually, he's ranked number two right now, but he just knocked off the number one wrestler recently. So he'll soon be ranked number one, right? So those three wrestlers with that little benign 1-1 record at that first try of the season since then have been just steamrolling their way through the competition.
I love that. I love that they all started the season out 1-1.
1-1, right? Right? Everybody's happy because they beat a good kid, but wishing for a little more because they also lost a match. And since then, they've just been on a roll, all three of them. So, yeah, that's a fun little tidbit.
Well, I like that you kind of rewound and went back and found that.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe here's another rewind for you.
Okay.
We're going to go back to the team side, Al. St. Peter, they just beat Blue Earth area 36-32. Blue Earth's ranked 9 in Class A.
It's a solid win.
Yep, solid win.
Was it unexpected?
Well, you know, yeah, because Blue Earth beat them a month ago 60-9.
Wait a minute. From a 51-point deficit to winning the duel?
Yeah. 60-9 to winning the duel 36-32. Now, I don't know what kind of changes were made. I don't know what happened in a month, but
that's incredible.
When was the last time you've seen something like that?
Wow. I mean, you see all the time teams that you know, lose in the regular season by maybe 6, 8, 10, 12, even 15 points, and then the postseason comes and they make a couple of adjustments and they're able to win a coin flip or two and get a matchup they like. I don't remember the last time I heard of someone overcoming a 50-plus point loss in a month to a victory. That's crazy. If anybody knows any details, like what switched, what changed, what all went into that, we'd love to hear it. Let us know.
Please. And you know, to be totally honest, the only reason I know that is St. Peter Wrestling tweeted it. And right? I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, great stat.
Yeah, like, wow. All right, here's another one for you that just happened. You know, we talked, I think, on our last episode about the mess that could be Section 8AA.
Right. Is that starting to sort itself out?
Well, no. The complete opposite. Right? But so Thief River Falls are currently ranked 9th in the state. They just beat Pequot Lakes Pine River Bacchus, who is currently ranked 8th in the state, 37-29. They're in the same section. It just muddied the waters even more.
Right.
Keep an eye on the top four teams in that section and really what that section race is going to look like. You know, another thing I noticed when I was watching Thief River Falls when they were at that try in Long Prairie, they got a kid on their team named Brady Kasprick.
Okay.
Keep an eye on him. He's a junior. I think he's undefeated, and he is one tough dude, man. He is.
How big is he?
You know, is he at 152?
Right in the midweight somewhere?
Yeah, like just, man, he was just, I was really, really impressed with. And I've seen him before in freestyle and Greco. Sure. I think our kids have been on some schoolboy dual teams together. And, yeah, he's a hammer, man.
Nice.
Where are we going next, Al?
Well, you know, I mentioned earlier Tommy Johnson, who is currently ranked number 2 in the state, right, at 220. I expect him to take over the number 1 ranking. He beat R.J. Chikalis from Hopkins, returning state champ, who had not lost this year. He beat him just the other day in this last week.
Well, you know what? Okay, that is – we'll score that.
5-1, I think it was, and I didn't catch the match, so I don't know. You know, a lot of times you'll see a match, it's maybe it's 3-1, and a kid tries something at the end and gets taken down trying to tie it 5-1, or maybe it's 5-1 totally controlled. I don't know which way it was, to be honest with you. I didn't catch a match. I did get a chance to watch RJ yesterday in person in a couple matches, and he looked good. I was impressed with how he moved. You know, last year, the thing I remember most about him from last year was ultimate tiebreaker win in the quarters, ultimate tiebreaker win in the semis, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure overtime win in the finals. Yeah. Like, he was just super hard to score on, but you wouldn't necessarily have he wasn't a scoring machine at the state tournament, right? Like in those tough matches, he was really hard to score on. But I watched him yesterday, and he looked awesome. Looked fast and strong and in good shape. He looks great right now.
Well, and I know you're not one to talk about it, but since we're talking about wrestlers and individual matches, and your son Parker Venz went up to 220 to wrestle him.
He did, yeah. Farmington and Hopkins wrestled yesterday, and I asked Parker the other night if he was going to make his way up to 220 for that duel and wrestle RJ, and he just said, "Oh yeah,"
which I love, you know, because win or lose this year, the way the season is without tournaments,
right?
When you can get a good match, if you can get that good match without it negatively affecting the team,
right?
You got to go after it, right?
Yeah, and by the time they got to the upper, Hopkins is open at a bunch of weights, right? They roll out some good kids, but they're open. They're not full staff. So the duel wasn't in question at the time, and so he was able to go up and get that match.
So RJ, he's currently ranked number one in at 220 pounds.
Yep.
Parker's number three at 195. Parker went up and it was a 6-5 match.
Yeah, Parker actually took him down in the third period to tie it up with about a minute left, and then had to make the decision if he tries to ride him out, which is hard with a guy like RJ, giving up a little bit of size and strength and whatever. So he cut him loose, and the match ended 6-5. But it was a very competitive match, and I know for a fact that RJ was very happy to get the match too. You know, was appreciative of a kid coming up, didn't have to come up and wrestle him, you know. So yeah, it was a good one.
This year with just duels, you got to kind of make it happen wherever you can to try and push yourself before the section and state tournament. Here's another one. We talked a bunch about Section 1 Class A, I think, on our last show, and Grand Meadow, Leroy, Ostrander, Southland. They're currently the highest ranked team, and you know, they didn't graduate anyone from last year, so
right,
they're probably the favorites to make it out of that section and qualify for the state tournament. But they were beat by Chatfield, who's currently ranked number 12. They're beat 41-27.
Wow.
No, that'll be a fun one to keep an eye on, because Chatfield or Grand Meadow just doesn't match up really well with Chatfield.
Sure.
But there is a chance, you know, the way the seeding plays out, Grand Meadow beat Dover Yoda beat Chatfield. Zimbrota Mazeppa is in that mix also. Grand Meadow beat them, so we'll just have to keep an eye on that and see.
Yeah, that could legitimately be seeded any one of a number of ways. And depending on how it's seeded, you know, GM losses look great in a bunch of duels. And if that matchup with Chatfield's not great, you know, they it just depends how that seeding shakes out, right? And keep in mind that the finals will not happen at sections, right? They'll happen at the super section, you know, on a second day. We have not got confirmation on weight classes. I believe they've got to be at the same weight class for that super section, you know, weighing at all the same slots as they did for the section tournament. I don't know that for 100%, but I believe it's probably true. But it is on a second day, you know, it's a little bit different as opposed to just going down and having the semifinals and then the finals in the same gym. It'll add a little different twist to that mix.
Oh, big time.
See, here's another one for you, Al. It's an oldie but a goodie, because it's, you know, probably close to that month old here, but I think I forgot to mention it on our last episode. Cass and Manorville, they traveled over to Fairmont Martin County West, where they wrestled the Red Bulls. Cass's number two in AA, and Fairmont is number three. The Comets beat them 36-33, but what was really interesting about it was Fairmont Martin County West led the duel at one time 33-3.
Wow. Cassin had 33 unanswered points. That's gotta be a lot of bonus points too.
Oh yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not, you don't get 36 or 33 in a hurry three at a time.
No, no, you don't. That was a fun duel. Again, that was on I think it was on YouTube. I guess I can't remember for sure, but it was nice to be able to watch that one in the living room, you know.
And no disrespect to the Comets, but the Red Bulls have the best, one of the best, not a logo, a
mascot?
Mascot, yes, I guess, yeah. Lots of words there for a second. Yeah. The Red Bulls, I love the Red Bulls. I've loved them since the first time I saw them at the Rumble years ago and had no idea who they were because I didn't grow up in Minnesota wrestling like you did. And I'm at the Rumble of the Red, and I see Fairmont Martin County West, and somebody said something about going Red Bulls, and I'm thinking, you know, is it Red Bull vodka out in the lobby or what, right? And I realized, no, that's actually their mascot, and I love it. It's awesome.
That is a co-op. That is the mascot they use, and it's, man, they are a tough team, and that was a fun duel to watch because, again, just as the wrestling fan side of me, we're being cheated out of so much of that this year.
You know,
tournaments that...
Speaking of Cass and Manorville and being cheated out of things, I recall being so happy a few years back. There was a weird situation, and I could not go to the team section tournament in Section 1. And I was so excited because I found on YouTube the Simley-Cass and Manorville duel was being streamed on YouTube. And I fired that up, and I was overjoyed. And I watched the scoreboard for 2 hours.
Right.
They were not allowed to stream it for, you know, whatever reason, right? We won't go into that. But this year, we're going to get to watch them. We will be able to watch any postseason event you want to, and it will be streamed. However they're handling the streaming, it will be available. So huge plus there.
You know, I got to tell you, Al, the dogs running around Studio 2 tonight, coming in Studio 2 are... You know, we should let our listeners know that Al and Jen now have 3 dogs in their house.
We do. We've got 2 of our own, and we've got Taylor's dog is hanging out with us for a little bit here.
Taylor's dog is hanging out here. He's focusing on his postseason stuff here. So for when we sit down and do a little pre-work for our show, you know, we spend a fair amount of time doing that together.
Well, today it was probably 3-4 hours.
Yep.
Right? And the dogs were well behaved the entire time.
I would not have even known you had dogs at that time. But literally, as soon as you hit record on...
I mean, once we really start talking wrestling, these dogs get fired up.
Oh my gosh.
They're big fans.
So you guys, for our listeners, if I seem distracted at times, it's... You thought when Hank was running around was one thing, but now we got...
So, like, just now, Josh was not licking water out of the sink. That was actually one of the dogs in the background of Studio 2. Maybe we might have to actually move the water bowl out of Studio 2. You know, it's there's a limited amount of space you can have for a studio of this size and quality, but we might have to figure out a little different situation with the doors and whatnot.
So... Yeah, I just got to apologize if I seem distracted at times. You know, and I'll be honest, I really miss Hank because Hank was a handful, but man, oh, the Yeti is a whole lot of dog.
You know, Yeti is a lot of dog, and Dexter's just a little guy. He's just a puppy, and when his energy level gets high, it gets high.
I mean,
when you got here, we left Studio 2 and went over by the living room, and I showed you like a recliner that normally sits 4 or 5 feet from a door, and it was pushed up against the door because when the dogs do laps chasing each other and bounce off that as they're doing laps to keep their speed up, they actually pushed it 4 or 5 feet into a door.
It just goes to show you, man, wrestling parents will do anything to help their kids out during the wrestling season. You brought a dog in from Nebraska.
Especially wrestling moms.
Yes. So true. Okay, let's keep going here. Now I'm ready to get back on track here. You know what? Another one is we got to keep an eye on is Section 6. Big Lake, Becker, and Dasakokato Litchfield. You know, all 3 of them teams are tough as nails.
Right.
The Big Lake is led by defending state champion Christian Noble. And that group of wrestlers, you know, they've got a group of wrestlers and parents that have been around together for a long time. I got to meet them or know them a little bit here a couple of years ago at NYWA, like 7th and 8th grade state tournament. They had a really nice group of kids that were in 7th and 8th grade at the time. Right now they're sophomores and juniors. And, the bottom half of their lineup is just loaded. And they got some, you know, like so many times in high school wrestling, you get an injury or two that kind of slow you down and maybe mess up the plan or the, you know, but they keep an eye on them. The Big Lake Hornets, they got a super tough team. Like I said, they're led by Christian Noble. You know, they got Nolan Ryder. He placed in the state tournament last year. They got see, Rocco Vichy, he's another guy, super tough. It should be fun because their main rival is Becker. Well, and I, you know, we got referred to the Becker Big Lake duel, which I had actually already watched.
Right.
But it was really cool. You couldn't see how many fans were in there, but the fans were really into it. You know, and obviously there's only, at the time, 150 or whatever the heck you could have. But Becker ended up beating him, you know, by, I don't know, maybe like 9 points or something like that. But that, you know, so, you know, maybe as we get closer to the end of the season, that could flip-flop a little bit. And then Becker lost to Descalcado Litchfield 35-22. But here's the caveat to that, Al. I just saw a post on Twitter that Becker has Braden Weber back in the lineup.
I saw that too. Just a simple picture. It's great to be back on the mat.
Yeah. So,
and that could be a game changer, right? I don't, what's he wrestling, 220 probably?
220, 195, 220, maybe weighing in at 195, wrestling 220.
Right, that would make sense.
I mean, so that definitely is going to help strengthen the lineup on the Becker side of things there. But, you know, and, you know, on paper, DCL is the favorite.
Sure.
You know, I think they're ranked, what are they, ranked fourth? You know, they got a super tough team. Made the state tournament last year. They're probably the favorite, but it still is going to be competitive. We got to keep an eye on that section.
Yeah. And speaking of keeping an eye on them, if you have a chance, head out to YouTube and Google Big Lake Wrestling. They have maybe the best high school highlight videos I've ever seen. They do a great job. They've got Hornets highlight videos all over the place, and they're pretty sweet. Like, pretty high quality production value, and they do a good job with it.
Well, they're doing them for the after each duel, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, that's a lot of work that goes into you. You've done some,
and it's not just it's not just posting the video, right? That's not hard. It's putting together a highlight film with a whole bunch of clips and some graphics on individual matches, and it's a sweet setup. They're doing a nice job up there.
Yeah, that was might have to talk to that guy about some of my video ideas I have.
Right. Yeah, you and your crazy ideas. Maybe you can sucker someone else into doing it for you.
Let's talk some more individual results, Al.
Okay.
Here's one I got to watch firsthand, which I appreciated. You know, I actually got to watch live. Reed Nelson of Simley. He's currently ranked third at 120 pounds in AA. He wrestled Zach Silvas and won 5-0. Zach is currently ranked 4 in AAA at 120 pounds. You know, that was a good match for that's another one that you'd probably a lot of times see at an individual tournament.
Right.
That we don't have this year. So, you know, Park and Simley kind of, you know, they made sure that match happened, which was nice to see because both those wrestlers appreciate a quality match, right?
Yeah, the coaches are doing a good job this year with that. You know, like you say, when the duel is not necessarily in doubt, you know, there was, other than a good match, there was nothing to be gained by Chicalis wrestling Parker, you know, risking some sort of loss, but he wanted everything to do with that match, and Parker ran, you know, went up to him. And then in the Lakeville South Hopkins duel, Lakeville South was actually open at 145, and Hopkins had a tough 145-pounder, but rather than take that forfeit, he moved up to 152, wrestled Bryce Bischoff, who's a super big handful, and he lost the match, and that's, if I would have had to predict it, I probably would have predicted that, right? So rather than just take the forfeit, and running's not the right term, but avoiding that matchup, coaches are doing a nice job of trying to find those when they can and force them. I really like it.
Well, and it's the best way we can, or the best matches we can find this year is they're, you know, thankfully the coaches are doing that. Another one was Mahaka just wrestled BBE and Ethan Labria. He's currently ranked third at 126 pounds for Mahaka. He beat Walker Benz, who's a defending state champ from BBE. He beat him 4-3.
Nice.
Yeah, and Walker's currently ranked third also. You know, that's AA to Class A.
Right.
But again, you know, they had the opportunity to make the match happen. You know, teams made the match happen. And another one we got to see was Conlon Carlson out of Wilmer. He's currently ranked fourth at 113 pounds in AAA. He beat Alex Dietrich, who's currently ranked seventh at that same weight in AAA. They're in the same section. That match was, I think, 7-4, maybe?
Sure.
Kind of going off memory on that one. I don't expect that we'll see those guys at the same weight in the section tournament.
Right.
You know, like, that was one of those deals where Alex is having a real nice season. I don't know if we talked about this or not, but his team, Sauk Rapids, they're only wrestling 16 duels this year.
And they're, as of right now, we believe they're done wrestling until the postseason, right? A lot of teams are starting to wrap up.
They might have one event
left. One
more,
okay.
You know, but in, forgive me for to our listeners if I've already mentioned this, but they're just wrestling. You know, they've taken a different approach to it. They're just wrestling their conference opponents, and that's it. Like, all their conference teams are wrestling twice.
I was going to ask, how big is this conference? Is it 18 strong, or does it rest them all twice?
It is not. They're wrestling them all twice. So, you know, that's another – it's an interesting approach. It's the only team I know that I know of that's kind of gone that route.
Well, you know, there was the guidelines came out, and it was conference and quote-unquote local teams only, right? Like, there was a guideline as to how far away – the teams could be that you wrestled. And then not too long after that, some of the conferences kind of did a one-year combination for a little super conference to have twice as many teams to compete against and stuff. So strictly speaking, most high school teams are just wrestling conference and a few local duels, but they've found creative ways to make conferences a little larger than the old days.
Well, and that's what, you know, that, it's, you got to get creative this year. And Alex was like, well, I'm going to go up to 113 because, you know, I need another quality match.
Right,
and
right.
They found, you know, he found it in Conlon Carlson from Wilmer, who is one of the many Carlsons from Wilmer.
Yeah, imagine you that, know. A Carlson from Wilmer this good.
Yeah. Just never ends with those guys. Another match that I got to watch up close was Gavin Nelson. He's currently ranked number one at 220 pounds. He beat Garrison Soliday, who's ranked number three at the same weight, 7-0.
Nice. Garrison St. Thomas?
Yeah, St. Thomas Academy, yep. A very, very athletic young man. He kind of came onto the wrestling scene, you know, about 2 years ago down in Section 1, at the Section 1 tournament down there.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's improved a ton. And actually, Gavin got in on a quick single leg. And I want to say Garrison went to defend, and Nelson transitioned to a hip toss and started the match off 5-0. It was a one heck of a toss, too.
Oh, I believe that. I mean, Gavin's he's no stranger to underhooks and hip tosses.
Yeah.
So you're telling me it started off 5-0 quick, and the rest of the match was a 2-point match.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe it gets wrestled different because the score is 5-0, but it sounds like a pretty entertaining match.
Oh, it was. And, you know, Garrison, I think he maybe took a little bit of an injury on that hip toss. I'm not sure what it was. It was in this area. Like, it was probably hard.
That's great for the podcast. They can see exactly what you're pointing to right now.
Yeah, I suppose they can't. Well, once we get the video part figured out, Al, they will be able to see that. So it was kind of in the chest area, and one heck of a battle by Garrison Soliday, but Gavin Nelson was just too much for him that day.
Sure.
You know, that'll be a rematch.
It's going to be one of Gavin's few six-minute matches this year.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, that's maybe a second one.
Sure.
Probably the last match I got jotted down here to speak on is Jory Volk of Lakeville North. He's currently ranked number one. He's a defending state champ. He beat number two, Landon Robidoux from St. Michael Albertville, 8-3. They wrestled last year in the state finals, and they just met up here a couple days ago. And Jory is just on a mission this year.
Man, he's been on like a two-year heater, though, right? We talked about him a couple years ago, the summer he had with the duels, going undefeated in like the junior duels and stuff. And he's just kind of stayed there.
Yeah, like he's in. Again, just on a mission, looking super tough. That was, you know, a rematch of the state championship from last year, and there's a good chance those guys will, you know, run into each other at the state tournament again this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So 8-3, Jory wins that one, and he's wrestled everybody and anybody this year, and we've talked about him a little bit, probably because of that.
Right, right.
You know,
yeah, I mean, certainly We've talked about him a number of times on the podcast. He's an awesome wrestler, but the thing that stood out this year is, you know, chasing down those extra matches, those tough matches, high level kids, up weight classes, and with no Christmas tournament sort of thing around, he's found other ways to go find them.
Yeah, that's what. Hats off to that kid, man. That's about what I have for results. I guarantee I'm missing a ton.
Oh yeah.
For individual and duels, but what's next, Al?
You know, one thing I wanted to touch on, as we're approaching the postseason here, a random topic came up between us earlier in the kind of the pre-show conversation, and we talked about Mason Brownlee in a section tournament, and it was probably like in 2014 or so,
give or take. Yeah.
Yeah. So Brownlee came in, he was the one seed, highly ranked, four-time qualifier. He placed 3 years in a row.
Wrestled for TCU, right?
TCU. Yep. He placed, I think, fourth and fifth and fifth as a freshman, sophomore, junior. One of the guys in all three of those brackets in front of him was a guy from South St. Paul named Joey Munoz.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that name by chance?
Yeah,
how good was he?
He had three really great state tournaments, that's for sure.
Man, that guy was
athletic,
good.
Athletic, get after it, three-time state champ.
Yeah. So anyway, Brownlee comes in. He's the one seed in the tournament. He's looking great, wrestling great. And in the semis, he ended up getting DQ'd on a slam. And the opponent at the time couldn't continue. The guy that he slammed ended up getting tech fouled in the finals. He did come back and wrestle, but he got tech fouled. Well, at the same time, right at sections, they do first and third place matches simultaneously to give a similar amount of break, right, between those first and third place matches and any possible true second match. So at the very same time, one mat over, Mason Brownlee is wrestling Aaron Sweeney, who I'm sure he trained with, and I believe they had a fairly friendly relationship, but they're wrestling for third over there in Mason's senior year, his last chance to make it to state tournament, try to improve on his previous three medals, try to get a little better color medal. And that match goes into overtime. And as you look over to the mat next to them, the match completes, and it's a tech fall. And wouldn't you know it, one way or the other, the kid who had a chance for a two-second match won the match in overtime over on the third-place match. And Sweeney ended up winning his true second match, went on to place at state that year. So that was a guy, three-time place winner, who had a goofy thing happen in the semis, called for a slam, kid couldn't continue, and that ended his high school career. So my point with this, along with our just old reminiscing, is, anything can happen in a match, whether it's getting caught and pinned, whether it's a slam-type move or an injury, to yourself or not. And I know a lot of people who, when they get to the postseason especially, their goal is to get on and off the mat as quick as they can. You know, it's not necessarily the time to rack up takedown records or whatever. You know, they believe get the job done and advance, right? The whole point of section tournament and this year's super section as well is to advance to the state tournament and then take care of business. So, that kind of just came up as a side conversation we had. And
well, and it's such a hard conversation to talk about, like, because we both have wrestlers,
yep,
that have been called for a slam,
sure,
at a trying time, right? Like, we would rather it not have happened when it did,
right?
I'll share my own experience. My son Skyler was wrestling in like the ninth grade region tournament for the ninth grade league to qualify for the state tournament. He was wrestling in a true second match.
Yep.
And he was winning, I think, 11-1 at the time. There was like 15 seconds left in the match. The kid he was wrestling did a stand-up. My son did a mat return. Got called for an illegal slam.
Right.
The wrestler that he was wrestling did not get up, did not continue. And
was the end of his run for ninth grade state?
Yeah, yep. And at the time and where he was at in his wrestling life and his wrestling goals, that was like the end of the world to him.
Yeah.
You know, and watching him wrestling, you know, talking about in the drive home and, you know, the day after and all that stuff that you know, that a wrestling parent goes through with their kid, you know, I said I wouldn't change a thing. You know, you can't change that, but I mean, there's 15 seconds left. It's so tricky, right? It's just hard.
Right.
It's so hard. Like,
you know, if he cuts him loose and gets headlocked and pinned, now you're upset that you cut him loose.
Right.
So it's a fine line. And in that match, right, it's not like Skyler was on his way to a tech fall or a pin and just kind of was letting it go. And I'm not saying that was the situation with Mason at all, but the point is, the less time you're on the wrestling mat, the less chance for goofy things to happen.
Yes.
If you have the opportunity to end a match, you know, go ahead and end it and move on to the next round. You know, I mentioned that was Mason's last high school match. It was not his last match, though, Josh. Less than 2 years ago, right? So this was 2014. Less than 2 years ago, he wrestled down at Corncob Nationals. In a 19 to 34 year old bracket.
For real?
For real. Mason lost his first match 5-5 and wrestled six more times that day.
What?
Yes. Yes. So a guy that graduated in 2014 under these crazy, weird circumstances. I don't even know exactly how I stumbled across this, but I did. Mason wrestled seven matches in a day less than 2 years ago. How crazy is that?
Oh, man, I bet he felt great when that was done.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, yeah, so a little random comment there on Mason.
Well, and the reason we, you know, I just talking off air about that situation and, you know, as we get closer to the postseason, you know, what happens at the beginning of the season or earlier in the year?
Doesn't matter anymore.
Doesn't really matter. You get a blemish on your record, not the end of the world when it comes to the postseason.
Yeah, it's not. So the whole goal of sections is to advance. You know, as much as it is, as nice as it is to win it, it's just to advance. In the old days, winning held just a hair more weight because it was a random draw, right? Where all ones faced twos and you felt like maybe you're better off with a win and facing a second place guy as opposed to, you know, a section champion. They've been seeding the state tournament for quite a while, and we've talked about seeding, and we'll probably talk about it more when we get closer to the postseason. But, you know, that early season blemish or mid-season blemish is not going to necessarily hurt your chances for a decent seed at the state tournament. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the state tournament.
Okay.
You know what? Actually, before we do that, let's give a little love to Minnesota's number one.
Yeah, absolutely.
They got some new mats. They got a couple more mats. Like, I mean, Minnesota's number one is...
These mats will not have to have the logo taped over.
No.
They're going to have their own logo on it.
So for any of the high school kids that are, you know, that are getting ready for the postseason here in the upcoming weeks, Minnesota's number one is not going away. Like, they are ready to have another event next year, have another... You know, they're going to look for the state champs or runner up, third place, whatever it is, right? I mean, they're far from done. There wasn't a one and done deal.
It was not one and done, and in fact, they hope to make it a much bigger event, right? With no COVID restrictions, hopefully by then or fewer, and it's only going to get bigger, that event. And you know, we've talked to the guys in charge of that, and. We've talked about a number of different scenarios for how we invite kids and whatnot. And I believe the plan will still be, right, it'll be juniors from this year and under.
Yep.
Right, it'll be returning kids. It's a preseason event. But, you know, I think the preference will be to try to find state champs at every weight that will come compete. And if they're not available... at least two from the weight classes, you know, maybe we look down to second place and if needed third, but we'd love to have, you know, 14, 15 matches featuring state champ on state champ. That would be the goal, right?
Oh, be.
Or at least, you know, finalists. And we had a ton of those last year.
Well, it just gets a little tricky because you got some state champs that graduate. You know, you got a bunch
right,
of those.
And guys change weights. But even in last year with the goofiness of the off season and everything else, we were able to have 9 state champ versus state champ matches. And we want to up that number this year if we can.
Well, and it's going to be, I think, so if people are curious, they want to put it on their calendar, I think it's going to be the same weekend. Does that sound right to you, Al? Like the same... I know it's going to be... I'm so bad with dates. It's going to be in August. Maybe like the second or third weekend. The third weekend in August, I believe. I think there's that committee, they're already starting to put that weekend together.
I think they've earmarked for August 28th.
So what is that? Is that...
Well, it depends on... I suppose that's the... 2 weeks probably before. The fourth weekend of August, counting the first weekend being the 1st of August, but... yeah, so it'd be the 28th of August.
All right, so...
So don't plan any trips to Canada fishing...
Yes.
...during that week, because we would hate for you to have to cancel them, even though we loved that it happened this year.
I.e. Derek Steele right. on Sibley East, right? Thanks for making that happen. Okay, Al. Now let's talk a little bit about the state tournament this year.
Okay.
Now, we'll later on, I'm sure we'll do an episode dedicated to that. But the state tournament is officially... at St. Michael Albertville.
Yeah.
All 3 days are going to be there. All three classes. So on the Thursday of, what is the date?
Probably like the 26th is a Thursday. It'd be about the 26th. That Thursday, that'll be the AAA, right? Team in the morning, 2 rounds of team in the morning, 3 rounds of individual in the afternoon.
Then that Friday is going to be AA.
Yep, same deal. Team morning, and individual.
Individual in the afternoon. And then Saturday is Class A, you know, with team in the morning, individual in the afternoon. I think they decided to end up going that route, you know, just maybe for travel.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it easier to limit things as far as having the class in one day. You limit exposures and you... And you're also able to do, you know, a single weigh-in for team and individual. I think that's how all that's going to work is being discussed. You know, it's always interested me at the state tournament. Weigh-ins are different than they are for any other tournament in the year. And I'm not critical of that. I don't know why it is or what have you. But, you know, they weigh in the night before. At the state tournament as opposed to the morning of for the individual tournament. So that's always a little bit different. And this year we'll have to see what they end up deciding they want to do for weigh-ins as far as team in the morning and individuals in the afternoon. I'm sure they won't make team kids weigh in twice. And we'll see for just numbers-wise, logistically, they may end up having individuals weigh in the afternoon. I'm not sure. We'll let you know when we get a confirmation on that. I know those things are all still being discussed and finalized and whatnot. But yeah, so having it in one place makes sense. They'll have the mat set up. They'll have the cleaning equipment set up, have the streaming set up, all that sort of thing. So it'll be 3 days in a row with a big wrestling tournament up at St. Michael Albertville. So that'll be fun. I assume that the single A on a Saturday is more than likely to allow for teams that are farther away and to allow them to travel. Because some of them are going to need to travel from outstate and have a little bigger travel plans here. So, yeah, I would guess that's why single A is on the Saturday.
It makes sense.
They've on average have the longest distance to travel. You might as well put them on the weekend.
Well, and I'll rewind just a little bit. The section term, I spent a fair amount of time this week talking with people and texting and calling and emailing different fans and parents and coaches and administrators from different sections. And it sounds like just about all the sections are going to have two spectators per wrestler for the team sections. And then they're also going to be able to have two spectators per wrestler for the individual section.
Sure.
You know, with I think a lot of them, the cap is going to be like 224 spectators.
Sure.
I'm trying to look that up on my phone right now, but as you can see, I'm ready for an install, an update.
Oh, well, that's excellent. It's, you know, the nice thing about that is they're still putting out updates for 14-year-old phones, which you roll with generally.
You know what? Lost my train of thought.
Well, speak from memory, Josh. You're talking about the number of spectators. You spent a lot of time on the phone this week with different, you know, coaches and administrators that are in the know, that have knowledge of what would be considered, I'm sure, at this point, like a draft. It would not be finalized necessarily, as things could change at any time.
Yeah, it can't be, right? Because everything is just subject to change.
Yeah, and hopefully at this point, crossing fingers, everything's been changing for the better, right, recently. The COVID-related bad things, whether it's cases, positives, all this stuff, they're all trending down pretty steep, which is good. Restrictions are being slightly relaxed, and it would be great if they end up getting relaxed even a little bit more before the postseason. But if nothing else, at least they are going to allow you know, limited spectators, allow some moms and dads to be able to come and watch some wrestling in the postseason.
Well, I will say this much. I've had the chance to see a couple of grandparents. You know, we've talked about this before. When we've sat in the stands and watched wrestling, we're big people watchers.
Yeah.
And I'm really a huge fan of watching grandma and grandpa in the stands.
Oh, yeah.
And I was at a duel here the other day where a wrestler's grandparents were able to go watch them. And it was, I can't say enough about how much fun it is to watch the grandparents. You know, you can always tell, like, a grandpa who's got a wrestling background because he's, like, literally, like, wrestling.
Right,
in the stand,
yes,
you know, like
yes.
He's, like, shooting a high crotch and, you know, hitting and trying to hit a single leg. She's, like, shadow wrestling in the bleachers. And then his wife, she was on track wrestling.
Awesome.
Like, so grandma, we'll just say Grandma Smith.
Right.
She was on track wrestling, and she was, like, looking through, like, track profiles to see.
Do a little scouting.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Now, how often do you see that?
From grandparents?
Yes, grandparents. on
this year, not nearly enough.
Not nearly enough. But the few times I have got to see it, I really enjoyed it. And it was fun because it kind of felt like normal wrestling.
Right, you know, right. Closer we get to normal, the better.
Right. Okay, wait a minute. I'm looking through my notes here. I got, here's one match I missed for the individual results.
Lay it on me.
Bryce Burkett, he's currently unranked from Watertown Mayor. He beat Pedro Velasquez from Chaska Chanhassen 5-1. Who Pedro's currently ranked 5th in AAA.
Nice. You know, and Bryce is young, right? Like an 8th grader or something?
He's an 8th grader. Yeah. He does not wrestle like an 8th grader at 145 pounds.
He does not at all.
Wait a minute, here's another one. Okay, now it's not a match, but this is... Al, I'm working on a little Al and Josh show merchandise.
Okay.
Little merch for
merchandise.
Us. They call it merch in the game.
Merch.
Right. We have some can koozies floating around out there that we give to
very select few.
Mostly,
it's been guests of the show primarily.
For the most part, yeah.
Right.
Or contributors.
Contributors.
But I think we're going to start maybe peddling. You know, we should probably talk about this off air, but we'll start peddling maybe some canned
koozies. Why would you
koozies?
Wait until off air to spring something like this on me, Josh? You prefer to bring this stuff up midstream generally.
Well, it's just I wish it was on video so people could see the look on your face right now. Because we're going to use the proceeds from the merch to pay for our video cameras to have the ability to make the documentary.
To talk about our last surprise
for
our last show that
together.
You sprung on me.
Yes.
I see how you're working out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we can do, you know, we can do video podcasts too.
We could.
I mean, it's just, so we're going to.
Hey, by the way, have you seen any Farmington wrestling lately that I've been broadcasting, Josh?
I have.
How is it?
It's fantastic. You even added instant replay.
I did. I mentioned during the broadcast yesterday that a lot of people think wrestlers are gluttons for punishment, right? Because of the amount of work and pain they put themselves through and watching what they eat and all the workouts and everything else. And with this whole streaming thing, it's like every time I think I have things figured out, I add something new to the mix to complicate my life more. But yesterday we did some instant replays, so yeah.
I thought it was awesome. And so you can't really blame me for complicating your life more when I got an idea or two.
That particular instance is of my own doing, and I fully admit that. There's a difference between adding instant replay for a live stream for a wrestling match than springing like docu-series Alan Josh show and then coming up with the idea that we can pay for this expensive camera equipment that you want to purchase with merch. Do you know how many can koozies we're going to have to sell to pay for the camera you've picked out, Josh?
It'll be so worth it.
It will be.
It will be so worth it. And, you know, not just can koozies, maybe some hats and t-shirts.
Yeah, I'm a hat guy. You won't see me without one.
Right.
So you know I'll buy one.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And I do wear a shirt generally.
Yeah.
So I mean, might buy one of each.
So we're going to... You know what? We're going to get going on this, Al. Like, I mean, now we'll talk a little bit off air when we're done here.
All right. All right.
I got a couple ideas here.
For I'm sure you do.
Some merch that'll fund my last idea.
I can hardly wait to hear them.
That's what... So to our listeners, look forward to some merch coming in the future.
Yeah.
And,
hey, speaking of merch, it's not merch, but NCAA D1 wrestling. Last year, we got cheated out of the tournament here in Minnesota.
Totally hosed.
We don't talk a ton of college wrestling, right? We have plenty to talk about the high school ranks here. But one of the funnest shows that we've ever done was when we had Mack Ryder in studio. We have got to get him back in studio for a super show preview for D1s this year. What do you think about that?
Oh, I can't wait. At the beginning of the show, you mentioned, when you think of Studio 2,
right?
You know, what else do you think of? You think of professionalism. That's
right.
Mack Ryder.
Absolutely. And that's actually professionalism
as opposed to real professionalism. And I will be equipped for that show, the NCAA Division I Super Show, with my Jason Bryant preview guide.
And Josh, how are you going to pay for that? I hope that you're going to get a discount because we will finalize it with Jason, but we will have an Alan Josh show discount for that preview guide once again this year.
Which I will definitely use that.
Yes.
I had a heck of a time finding last year's preview guide I got it saved in my Google Drive that you taught me how to use.
Did you delete your Gumroad app?
No, you know what? He changed the name of it.
Okay.
Like, you know, it's last year it was just the guide.
Oh.
Just the guide.
Which I can understand that's appropriate because it's kind of like a Bible to D1 wrestling fans. And
yeah.
It doesn't need a big complicated name. But it does complicate finding it in your Google Drive. Especially for a guy like you who asked me today about expanding storage on Google Drive because you have so much garbage. I mean, so many items out there.
Well, I'm just saying, the years prior, it was a preview guide. Last
right.
year, it was the guide. I mean, it's the most helpful piece of literature
ever.
I mean,
yeah.
So fun to look through and just wrestling stuff over
so
and over again.
I'll do this. I will talk to Jason and finalize that this week. And
okay.
before the end of next week, I'll get a link tweeted out with... the discount code for the Alan Josh show to purchase that guide. So if you're planning on purchasing it, and if you watch D1 Wrestling at all, highly recommend it. Save your money until we get that discount code out there, and you can save a few bucks and tag us in that purchase. We're not taking anything from Jason from that. The amount of work he puts in there, he talked about, you know. A lot of times discount codes get split between the person who offers the code, Jason, and the people who are advertising it, us. We're not interested in that from Jason. We just want to truly help him out. That said, the more people that buy that with our code, the better. It'll just be a fun talking point next time we get a chance to sit down with Jason.
I love the guide.
Yeah.
Well... Is there anything we're missing here?
I'm sure there's a ton of things we're missing, but I don't have anything else written down, nothing else comes to mind. And the longer we're on air, the more chance there is for you to come up with another crazy idea and spring it on me. So if you don't have anything else, I'm cool with ending this one.
I don't have much left. I will say you're going to look good in an Alan Josh Show t-shirt with matching hat and can koozie.
Oh, yeah.
But I agree that probably wraps her up. But if you like what we're doing, give us a follow on Twitter.
Yep.
Like us on Facebook and Instagram. And don't be afraid to send us a DM.
Yeah, and speaking of social media likes, don't be afraid if you could, if you want to. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can help us by going to our YouTube channel, right, where we put all our Dear Wrestling videos out last year. It's where any live streaming I've done this year is on that channel. If you go there and you don't have to like stuff if you don't want, but if you could subscribe, that's helpful. The more subscribers you get, the more opportunities there is for streaming content from YouTube. They give you more options if you got a higher subscriber count. You know, like my folks subscribed to us and they got a notification one day that there was going to be a live stream or that a live stream just started. And it was one I was doing as kind of a test run early on before I was publicly doing it. And so they were on a Facebook live stream and watching it with no audio, with no overlays or scoreboard or anything. And they got that little pop up because they were subscribed to us and jumped on and were able to watch with some commentary and overlays and whatever. So if you want to, or if you would like to, if you could, if you go subscribe to our YouTube channel, you'll get that. Right now it's some wrestling streaming maybe would show up, but as we put out more video content, which we do plan to do, you'll get notifications for that and you'll help us out with your subscription. So that's all I got, Josh.
I'm with you, man. That is it. That you know, I appreciate the dogs coming into Studio 2 and, you know, giving us a little...
Yeah, Josh's microphone is not malfunctioning tonight. As you hear him talk, and every so often it gets quiet a little bit, that's because he's looking left or right trying to fend off a puppy. Yeah, that's all that is. So I don't have anything else. I'm looking forward to, as we roll into the postseason, we will figure out our next get-together and get some sort of previews together, recaps and previews again, and go from there. Well,
sounds good.
Great awesome podcast. See ya.
Yeah.
Time for the end of show wrap. Minnesota Wrestling representing. Alan Josh is the podcast show. Just two guys that's in the know. Bringing the wrestling news episodes. You can sit and listen or hear on the go. Voices is smooth, podcast is free. Many platforms for downloading. Minnesota Wrestling. Alvin, Josh, Raymond report the scene. High school, college, women, youth. Minnesota Wrestling is for you. Live from the kitchen, I'm in Studio 2. Can't wait for the next one. Stay tuned.